Welcome to the Instagram Stories for Friday, January 23rd. I'm your host, Daniel Hill, and this is the weekend edition of the Instagram Stories. Today on the show, I sit down with Diego Sanchez, who is a product manager at Buffer. If you're not familiar with Buffer, it allows you to post to multiple social media platforms at the same time. But the company has also rolled out Community, which helps you to build meaningful engagement across social media platforms. In this conversation, we dive into how you can increase engagement and the one tip you could do that will make all the difference. We're going to get into the conversation right after this word from our sponsors. Welcome back. Here's my interview with Diego from the Buffer team. Diego, welcome.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Diego, for people who aren't familiar with you, can you tell us who you are and what it is that you do?
Great. So my name's Diego Sanchez. I'm from Colombia. I've been nomading for a few years, and I'm part of the Buffer team. I've been at Buffer for 6, going on 7 years now. I am part of the product team, and I focused on new product development, so building new things at Buffer. In my time here, I've built products like Reply, so for people who've been using Buffer for a while might remember it, Engage, which is still live today, but we're deprecating it soon, Start Page, and now we just launched Community. So I focused on new product development at Buffer.
I love that. Let's back up for a quick second. If people have been listening to the show for a while, they've heard some of your colleagues from Buffer on the show previously. But if people are not familiar with Buffer, tell us what it is.
Great. Yeah. So Buffer is a social media management suite. We're here to help small businesses and creators get off the ground and grow. And basically, we have a set of offerings, a set of tools to help you connect with your audience. We know social media can be hard. We know at the beginning, you might not get enough traction or enough comments. And right now, one of our strategic priorities is to help you go from zero to habit, building a habit on social, and then to seeing results. And to do that, we have a series of tools to help you. So a series of tools for small businesses and creators, such as a publishing platform where you can publish content to more than 13 channels today. We also have an analytics platform to get feedback on what's working, which are the best times to post. And now we're introducing our engagement feature, which is replacing our existing one. And that's basically meant to help you complete the picture. You know, we believe that posting is important, but if you post and ghost, you might not see the right results. You know, it's like you don't, it's like two parts of the same coin, you know, like it's very important. So we want to offer all of those tools to make it easy for you to grow your audience and find your voice.
I want to get into each one of those. Let's start first with the publishing tool. That's the one that I am most familiar with, so I feel most comfortable to talk about this. How does the Buffer publishing tool work? I want to say what I think, but please give a better explanation and then I'll add in some bits of how I've used it.
Absolutely. So basically what we do is we connect through APIs, and I won't get into like technical details, but we work with partners such as the Meta platform, LinkedIn, X, to be able to publish content on your behalf, right? So you can just sit once at Buffer and plan all your content, know when you want it to go out. We can also help you choose the best times to post for each content depending on the platform. And then you can relax and just, you know, it all goes out when you wanted it to.
Yes. So one of the things that I love about the Buffer tool, and I talk about this all the time, is if you are just getting started or you don't have a large budget, you can post to 3 separate platforms for free without paying using the Buffer tools. And I love that. The best part, really, I think, about this publishing tool is that it allows you to customize the post for each platform before you post. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yep. And I'll start by sharing a little bit about why we're truly committed to staying free. You know, like Buffer is a mission-driven, values-led company. And to me, that's one of the most important parts of it. That's why I decided to join this company. I've been here for almost 7 years. Because we really want to see a world with more small businesses that do good while doing well. And this is, you know, we live and breathe our values every day. We're a fully transparent company. Our salaries are online. Our revenue metrics are online. Our customer count is online. We share everything in our open blog. And I think that's something that people can resonate with. You know, it builds trust in the brand and in what we're doing. And in turn, that's why I think a lot of people trust in our service to, you know, come to Buffer, to grow your audience, to connect with your community, and to post online, right? So that's a little bit about the why it's so important for us to have that free plan, you know?
I fundamentally agree with everything you're saying, but I just think That's so unusual in this landscape where people say, don't leave money on the table. And we've seen where products have just gotten worse and worse over time so that companies can charge more money and you have nowhere else to go. So I think that right off the bat is just a very refreshing outlook on software, app development, social media. It's very unusual.
And I'll share another like reason why that is. Buffer, you know, raised a small round when it got started. It's going on 15 years now. And now in recent years, we've actually been buying out our early investors. And this is because part of the desire is for the company to be fully independent. And that allows us in the product team, for example, to make decisions that we know are better in the long run. So, and this, you know, this can be things like, yeah, we want to keep a free plan, a generous free plan. We want to lean on generosity. We want to make sure, because our mission is to help small businesses get off the ground and grow and creators get off the ground and grow, we believe a free plan is a key part of this. You know, like when you're getting started, you're on a budget, you don't know what works yet. You might be trying different channels and trying to figure out what's going to work for you, what's going to resonate, what's going to stick. And without a free plan, that's kind of hard. You know, you're already having to commit to paying some amount of money every month where you don't even have any money coming in. So that's why I think the free plan is a strategic pillar for us. It's very important because, and it's also a key part of our mission. We really want to see a world with more businesses that do good while doing well. We have a ton, thousands of nonprofits, small businesses, brick and mortar shops, you know, people doing all sorts of things. And we believe the world is actually going to be a better place if we have more of these small businesses and more diversity there. So it all comes down from that mission. But tactically, how we're able to actually get this to work is through that independence, right? Because if we had a lot of pressure from investors to grow really quickly, we might have to cut corners or make some decisions that won't really be in the best interest of our customers.
Right.
So I think that's part of how we've been able to structure this operation and the business for this to work.
I think that's a fascinating approach to put the user's needs ahead of the company's immediate cash flow opportunities. That's just so unheard of in this day and age.
Yeah. And I'll share like more stories around that if that's interesting.
That. Please.
We actually were burning cash for a few years and it was a difficult moment. You know, I've been at Buffer. I joined in 2019 at the very peak of our growth. And then we started declining a little bit in revenue, in customer count. We were going through a bit of a crisis. And I think that was hard, you know. But even through that valley of the difficult time, we still were not compromising on our decisions and putting what we believe was right for customers, which to me is why we're growing really fast today. And what we're, you know, why today our MRR is growing really quickly, our customer count, we're hiring, you know, we kind of turned that corner. But I think part of the real reason behind that is that we always were thinking about doing the right thing, even if it was the hardest, and doing the right thing for our customers as well. So to me, that's really refreshing, quite unique. I know a lot of companies are not in, you know, such a fortunate position to be able to do the same. And people in product might not be able to make the same decisions as the ones we were able to do. So I think that path to being an independent company was key here in being able to serve our customers and really do what we think is right for them.
Yeah, I love this. Let's talk quickly about, we've already talked if you're perhaps a small creator or a small business starting out and you can take advantage of the tool, just, you know, three platforms. But say you're a social media manager and you're managing 10 different clients across multiple platforms and it's hard to keep it all straight. How can you use Buffer in order to do that? Because I think that's really a thing that people don't realize is so powerful for Buffer. Diego is going to answer that question, but first we are going to take a quick break. Welcome back. We're talking with Diego Sanchez from the Buffer team. Here's the rest of the interview.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you grow, you know, a lot of things start to happen. If you manage multiple channels, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to stay on top of when do I have to post this, or staying on top of comments across multiple platforms is hard as well. So Buffer makes this easy because you just come to the platform and you organize all your content. We have a section called Create where you can store ideas or drafts if you're not sure yet what's going to turn out to be a great post. And then you basically start planning everything. And you say, all right, I want to post. We have a thing now called Streaks, which helps you, you know, stay accountable, make sure you stick to it. But we also have posting goals. So you can define a posting goal per channel, depending on what works. So you might say something like, for TikTok, I want to post twice a day, for example, or once a day. But maybe for LinkedIn or other channels, I want to post once a week. That's, you know, totally depends on your content strategy. And we have built-in tools to help you with that. So we have Streaks, posting goals, and then you can just plan all your content across the different channels. Or for some people, it also means just posting across channels, the same content, right? Or making slight adjustments to it. So it really depends, but we have all of these tools built in to make it easy for you to manage many channels. So it's not just when you're doing one or two channels and getting started. We have customers with, you know, 20, 30, 50 channels connected. And it really makes it easy for them because it's a lifesaver. You have, you know, you can manage everything in just one place.
Right.
And you also can create a team as well. So you don't have to share credentials. You can just give permissions to different people to post on one channel, but not another, or, you know, or to create drafts and then you approve them. So as you start to scale, we have all of these tools already built into the service to help you and make your life a little bit easier.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the nuances of the platforms, if you don't mind. And this may be something that's not quite possible yet or on the Buffer roadmap, but I know that there are so many different nuances for each platform. So for instance, on Instagram, certain audios might be trending or on the way up and you can see, hey, that's one I should use as background music, or that's a reel that I can copy. Or you might upload a YouTube short and then you realize you can only add the YouTube short thumbnail from inside the YouTube mobile app. Why? I have no idea, but that's just one of the nuances of YouTube, right? Or you might see a particular trend is blowing up on TikTok and you want to make that, but it hasn't quite hit Instagram yet. So is there a way to kind of handle some of these nuances through the Buffer platform, or is that something that is coming in the future?
It's something that we'd like to see, but I'd also like to explain a little bit about the why it's not always possible. So when you're posting natively, you know, you're directly in the Buffer app, in the Instagram app or TikTok, you get access to pretty much everything, right? Like you have trending sounds, you can, you know, do as, you know, the sky's the limit basically. But when you're working through third-party APIs, which is what we have to do, you don't get access to all of the features, right? So we have to, we're constantly working with our partners to improve what's available via the APIs so that we can make these things possible, so that you can, you know, tag someone, which is possible, or so that you can add mention someone, you know, things that seem simple, but getting to more complex ones like trending audios and stuff like that, I think that's where it gets a little tricky sometimes. And our only option there is to continue to work with our partners to make sure that we eventually can support those functionalities. So it's not always possible, but we have a feature, like one of our values is default to transparency, as I shared, our salaries are transparent, our blog is open, and we really rely on customer feedback as well to guide our product decisions. So we have an open roadmap request, like people can basically create requests for new features and vote and comment, and we really rely on that quite a lot. You know, we try to focus on those top requests and make sure we ship them. And when it's not possible due to restrictions, as I was sharing via the API, we try to work with our partners and say, look, you know, we're really getting a lot of requests from this. This would unlock a ton of value for creators and small businesses and contribute to more content on the platform. So we do work with our partners to try to unlock that. It's not always possible, though.
I get what you're saying about the APIs and the limitations there. One of the things that I learned recently is that you can upload, if you're going to post the video to multiple places, and one of them is LinkedIn, you can add, I believe, the thumbnail for the LinkedIn video through the interface, where you can't do that for some of the other platforms. Is that right? Am I remembering properly?
I think that's correct, yeah.
And that's one where I think I even, you know, tweeted to the Buffer team and I said, oh, I wish I could do this. And they were like, oh, you can, right? And so I felt silly that I'd missed that button. But those are the nuances of the platforms, obviously, not something you control.
Exactly.
It is nice to be able to see everything in one interface and post to multiple places. But I feel like sometimes the platforms reward you for using those different features that may be required to do from within the app or on the website of that platform. So sometimes that can be a little bit of a challenge.
I agree. I think then that's why we're trying to get to as much parity as possible, where there are limitations, get creative on how we can support people using the platform to make it easier for you. So for example, when you can't schedule stories, for example, but we can create reminders for you, right? So we make it easy for you because you have all the content there, the copy. So it's just copy, paste, and it, you know, you save time, you know? So when there are limitations, we do try to go the extra mile and put ourselves in the creator's shoes and see, all right, how can we help given the limitations, given that we know this is important for them? So that's usually how we go about it. I'll give you another example. When it comes to responding to comments, we get different, you know, different things are possible depending on the channel, right? So for example, for some channels, we get near real-time capabilities, which is great. You know, you're in Buffer and a comment comes in, you can reply to it immediately. For others, we don't. And that's a tricky thing, right? Because that means we have to constantly poll to see when new comments have come in.
Some interval, 10 minutes or whatever.
Exactly. So there a lot of thinking goes into this because we say, all right, let's look at who's active. And if you're active, we try to poll more frequently. If you're inactive or under, you know, risk at risk of maybe becoming inactive, we poll less frequently. And if you're inactive, we stop searching or maybe just search once a week or something like that. Right. So a lot of thinking goes into, excuse me, into this, because these are hard problems to solve sometimes. But we really are committed to creating a really good experience for creators and small businesses. But people have no idea sometimes, like all the thinking and like
use cases
hoops
and
loops
scenarios.
That we need to jump to. So it's pretty tough. But hopefully it doesn't feel that way. Hopefully when you're using Buffer, you're like, this feels intuitive. Right. This feels right. But yeah, some problems were quite complex to get to that level of simplicity.
Yeah, sure.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Diego's going to dive into some of the data that the Buffer team has analyzed and how that can shape your social strategy going forward. Stick around. Welcome back. I'm chatting with Diego Sanchez from the Buffer team, and here's where we get into the data analytics conversation based on all the data that the Buffer team has access to from all the posts from their clients.
Since we're talking about the comments and responding to comments, I know you have some analytics data that the Buffer team has been working on. Can you share a little bit about that? And then we'll dive into the new product.
Absolutely. So recently, we have a one-person data science team, but he's incredible. Julian has been at Buffer for years.
And heard great things about Julian.
He is something else. He's very special. So basically, Julian analyzed 2 million posts across different channels. We have a lot of data, naturally. So this allows us to do some really interesting things and make data-informed decisions. So after analyzing 2 million posts across different channels, we wanted to understand what is the impact of replying to comments, and what does that do to the post's engagement?
That's such a high-level question, right? What is it? Does responding to comments do anything, right? That's really the question.
And it's something that a lot of creators and SMBs are probably asking themselves. You know, you have I know people are probably thinking, what is the best time to post? That's a question that you usually always think about. Yeah. You want your content to do really well.
And to be seen.
And to be seen, right? Yeah. You put time and effort into it. The other piece is, if I respond to comments, what impact does it have? Does it boost reach? Does it help with, you know, impressions or engagement? What does it do? So is it worth my time? You know, because it is hard for some people. You start getting comments and then you feel like you're drowning and you just give up.
And you're not sure, should I be responding in a short comment? Is an emoji good enough and that person feels like they were seen and heard? Or is a long sarcastic response worth the time? Like, this is drilling down, but please
we
continue.
Can chat a little bit about that. So basically Julian analyzed 2 million posts across different channels. And he saw that there was an engagement lift for creators who regularly reply to comments between 5% and 42%, depending on the channel, which is incredible. You know, for channels like LinkedIn, top of my head, it's a 30% uplift. So it's definitely worth your time. You know, like if you want your content to perform and you want people to engage with your content, replying regularly will boost your performance by 30% according to our data on LinkedIn.
Okay. Do you mean now 30% of the people whose comments you've responded to are coming back to your page? Or they're responding again to the comment? Like, what does that mean, the uplift?
Well, basically what we analyze, we measure engagement as interaction with a post, right? Okay. So did people leave a comment? Did people, you know, like it, do something with it? So by looking at reach, at the number of impressions, and then how many people left a comment or engaged, you know, in some form with the post, that's a good sign, you know?
Yes.
So basically, we realize that if creators take the time to reply, they see more engagement in their posts, which if you zoom out a little bit, it kind of makes sense, right? And I like to think about it this way too. When I share a LinkedIn post, for example, I know that in the first 10 minutes are important for the post to perform well. And part of this is just the signal that you send to people that see your posts. So if they see, for example, that you're an engaged creator that's replying to their comments, they're more likely going to leave a question or, you know, leave a comment. So I just like to abstract it and kind of go a level up and say it kind of makes sense, right? Like if people see that you're responsive, they're more likely going to share some comment or question with you. So just, you know, think about relationship building, or it's like at the end, it's just humans interacting through a platform, right? Mm-hmm. So to me, it's just about that importance. And that's why we're so committed on building community and these set of features around that, because we really want to help people connect with other people. And you know, it's less of a performative thing or where you're just building an audience and, you know, shouting into the void, and more of like, they're humans on the other side. And you're going to find a ton of great ideas for content there. You're going to meet interesting people along the way. You know, you're going to learn things about yourself. You're also going to get great feedback about what's working, what's not. And if you think of a platform like TikTok, for example, I think a lot of creators grow and find new content ideas from just the comments. You know, it's basically just replying to comments all day long.
Yeah. And you see sometimes people have said, I've gotten this question a ton of times in the comments. Yeah. I'm going to make a video about it, right?
And that which sometimes I suspect people just make that up.
Yeah, sure.
But I think there's like the interactions that you can have with your community are so valuable. And that's why to me, it's even beyond the numbers. The numbers are interesting. And I think what our data shows is that you can get more engagement in your posts and you could probably get more reach as well. We'll have to look into that. But I think they're correlated. Mm. But to me, I also want to zoom out a little bit and share the importance about just building your community and how much value you can get from that too.
So if I can go back a second, you said the platform range from 42% more engagement to 5% more engagement, right? So do you mind which platforms have more engagement as a result of replying to comments? Because that sounds like the platforms that creators, brand marketers would want to spend more time replying to comments on. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. So top of my head, I think Facebook was like a 9% lift, if I remember correctly. I know LinkedIn is one of the highest at 30%. Threads was really high up there too. So I think we're seeing like a lot of opportunities for creators in platforms like LinkedIn and Threads where we see from our data that it's worth replying to comments. But honestly, if you think about it, 9% is not even that bad for Facebook. You know, it's like I consider it almost low lift as well, because you just have to reply to a few comments. You get good ideas from there for future content. You're also investing in your audience. You know, they're real humans who are taking the time to leave a comment or share some love and appreciation for you or ask a question. So, you know, I think that even from the lowest at 5%, which I don't remember which channel it was, I think it's a worthy investment. You know, you're getting almost 10% or more because there was only one channel at 5% and most were in that range.
Right. So my understanding has been, and I could be thinking mostly about Instagram in this, but people who get 3 to 5% engagement on their posts is kind of average. You know, obviously it depends on, you know, what kind of creator you are and what your situation is, but having more opportunity to be getting higher engagement just by responding to comments. Okay. That's well worth the investment. If you can go up to 20%, 30% engagement because of you were just simply not spending more time creating the content, not spending more time editing the videos, not spending more time creating thumbnails that people only see for a quarter of a second. Responding to comments is what I think that's really like a fundamental shift in how people think about it. But also, since you mentioned Threads was higher on the list, and I think LinkedIn was higher on the list as well, I was kind of thinking what that indicates. I mean, obviously, Threads is new. I think it's less than 2 years old, right, at this point. So does that mean people are more interested in having dialogue and conversations either on more text-based platforms as opposed to more video-centered platforms? Or is new still exciting and engaging because it's new? And I think that's an interesting idea too. If you had to place a bet, which one would you think? Like, why are the platforms that are having higher engagement to comments having higher engagement to comments?
That's such a good question, honestly.
We need Julian.
Yeah, we need Julian for this. Julian, hit us up.
Julian, if you're listening, we need you.
Yeah. I think, honestly, I think it's every platform has a different vibe. People have different objectives. And my gut tells me that it's just a matter of like the types of interactions and communities that you are creating. Because when you design a social media channel or a platform, you create incentives, right? You reward certain types of content. The algorithm is basically has a set of rules that rewards or punishes certain things, right? And I think over time that creates differences in the communities. So you can have a community that's, for example, very critical, or a community that's, you know, that loves uplifting content and hates other things and just wants to focus on, you know, feeling good. So there's like nuances to each platform. And I suspect that this data is just a reflection of some of that, where platforms are taking a different route or going more, focusing more on paid and other things. I would suspect that the strategy behind LinkedIn and a platform like Threads, for me, it's more about creating those conversations and nurturing that community. So I suspect it's more about that, unless because they're new. But that's just my gut. That's what I'm observing.
It would make sense, the community vibe, right? That's what you want is to be heard when you go. And if you join a conversation and someone responds to that conversation, it's giving you the not only dopamine, but the interaction that you're looking for. So that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think these communities are focused on different things. LinkedIn was, you know, born as a platform for you to find a new job and things like these, but it's evolving very quickly. So in that sense, I think we're starting to see what that could look like and what people are coming together to discuss and in that platform. Threads, I think, is longer, like a short form, and people just, you know, have more casual conversations there. I don't know where it's going, but I think what we're seeing now is just that type of content there, and people just have fun, you know. So that's why I think it makes sense to see a bit more engagement in these two networks.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to stop it there. If you want to listen to the rest of the interview, you can either watch it on YouTube, or you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcast platform. I will link to everything in the show notes. As always, thank you for listening, and come back next week for more social media news, strategy, and other things you should be aware of.
Let's get it. The year was 2013. You posted your first pic, and you're glad your post got seen. Your friends liked it too, but what you didn't know is what posting on that platform would do. Taking all your time and attention, doom scrolling. Also, let me mention, you gotta post on every platform. And you got hooked. Now engagement is down. You feeling overlooked. Hey, keep coming back for more podcasts. And find me on Instagram at